Hey, I've got a, I'm really, really excited today. This has been on my heart for a while. It's just finally, the season is right. The time has, God has aligned all the stars together. Today I'm starting a 10-week series. Actually, if you're counting 10, this would be zero, okay? I'm starting a 10-week series called The 10 Commandments. Do they still matter? That's an excellent question, isn't it? We live in a culture that has rapidly moved away from traditions and traditional thought. It's as if everything we have believed and thought was right is suddenly wrong and vice versa. The term for this cultural change, as many of you know, is called woke or wokeism, being woke. As if the whole world has been sleeping and people are now starting to wake from their slumber of indoctrination. The foundational idea of wokeism is that whatever you have thought and been taught is now wrong because our teachers and thinkers were part of the old system that conspired to keep people down and oppressed. In other words, if we're older than five, everybody raise your hand if you're older than five in here, pretty much. Okay, pretty much every hand should be going up except for two sitting back there. Then I want you to know that you have been brainwashed in one form or another. I'm just kidding, that's sarcastic. One of the biggest offenders, according to our woke liberators, God, thank you for sending our woke liberators. I didn't realize I'd been sleeping all these years. One of the biggest offenders has been the Bible. They say it was written by bigots, misogynists, and people who believed in fables. But that was then, and we have now evolved and have become enlightened, or so the thinking goes. And because of this thinking, many people have worked tirelessly at removing the Bible from our society. They have relegated it to another work of literature irrelevant to our culture today. Now let's just throw AI into the whole stew. AI is progressing rapidly to become a god of its own. Maybe you've read some of these articles. We're even writing its own Bible. Did you know that AI is writing its own Bible this morning? I bet you didn't, did you? It's in the works, and it will be filled with climate and ESG propaganda. It will be so cleverly written that how could you dispute the logic? Eventually, it will brainwash billions into receiving its precepts as sacred. Will it articulate a new truth, a more accurate truth, reflecting what the Bible says? Or replacing what the Bible says? Will AI render our Bible irrelevant and antiquated? Will we bend the knee to cultural pressure to accept it? Or hold fast to what we have been taught and know to be the real truth? This brings us to the Ten Commandments of God. Are they still relevant in our modern age? Do they matter? Were the commandments given to only Israel, or were they intended for the whole world? Should we keep all of them, or just some of them? Are they commands, or merely suggestions? What do they mean, and what was their purpose? We will answer these questions, or I will attempt to do so, over the next 10 weeks while studying each commandment individually. So for today, I want to look at where we got the Ten Commandments, what their purpose is when they were originally given, and whether they are for the whole world or for only the Jews. So let's begin with the first point, where we got the Ten Commandments. We have this picture up there. Jim, do I still have my trusty pointer? You wouldn't know, would you? Thank you. It's right here. It feels like being laser beamed today. All right. I'll shoot you with a laser. Don't go to sleep. Of course, you won't see it if you're sleeping. But all right. So, see over here? This is when they left Egypt. The Hebrews, they made this little trek here. They crossed the Red Sea. Probably right in here is what archaeologists believe. They made this trek down here. And then right down here is where Mount Sinai was. After leaving Mount Sinai, they went up here. And they did this for 40 years. Till all that generation who doubted God finally died off. And then they crossed the Jordan and went up and claimed their land. 3 months after leaving Egypt, the Israelites camped in the Sinai Desert. Again, that's this area right in there. God spoke to Moses from Mount Sinai, first giving him a message for the people. You better shape up. You better shape up. You're about to get to know me intimately. And then he gave him the law to give to the people, the Ten Commandments. Now note that the Hebrew people were not a nation at this point. They were people without a land leaving captivity after 475 years. Can you imagine? 475 years. They didn't have a frame of reference for how to become a nation. They only had the Egyptians as a model of how a country should be run, including the plurality of the gods that the Egyptians worshiped. God had to start with baby steps to transform this nomadic group into a nation that still exists even this day. So to establish order from disorder, God had to establish rules called laws. And this is what laws do. They establish order. These laws were the framework of how they should respect God and to treat each other. The first four laws of the Ten Commandments pertain to our relationship with God. The last six pertain to our relationships with each other. The Ten Commandments were intended to be given to the people of God, and they would give them to, and the people of God would then give them to the world by modeling obedience that pointed back to the holy God who gave them the laws in the first place. The law would be a tutor of sort, teaching the world right and wrong and what the holy creator of everything expected from his creation. Are you with me this morning so far? Check this out. Okay, I'm going to sidestep for just a little bit. I promised my wife there's going to be a propeller moment today. Think about Adam and Eve for just a second. What was the tree that God says don't eat of? Tree of knowledge of good and evil. I get those mixed up sometimes. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eating that fruit would give them knowledge of right and wrong. Right? That was the promise. Satan says, you will know what is right and wrong. God's just holding out on you. Based on what they decide to be truth. Follow me here. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge. The reason was they will know what is right and wrong. However, now in their fallen state, their knowledge of right and wrong is based on what they think is right and wrong. Are you tracking with me here? What is the main problem in our society today? The thing, it's man being its own God, man determining what is right and wrong. So why did God need to bring the law? Because God says, I will determine what is right and wrong. You just do what I says and you'll be okay. You don't do what I say and you will not be okay. We need to determine what God says and then obey what He says, because when we are our gods determine what is right and wrong, it will not go right. Who's to say your right is my right or your wrong is my wrong? You with me? I think that is so cool. That is so cool. Maybe you don't, but you will one day. Before you go to sleep tonight, you'll be laying there and go, wait, I get it. That was so cool. Back to the law. A society cannot function when it has no laws. But laws mean nothing unless they have teeth. That is called punitive, or the punishment for lawbreaking. And this is why the law also set out to define appropriate and necessary punishments. Speaking of punishments, this is why we are seeing so much crime in our country, especially over the last few years. Part of our nation's deconstructing, and I tell you, it is intentional. It is intentional to deconstruct our society, to make our laws and our rules irrelevant by not having teeth in them. That's why there's been big money poured into our DAs across the country in the election of DAs that will let criminals off the hook, that will have judges rule against common sense. Big money going to the deconstruction of our nation to tear down our laws and to remove the teeth, the punitive aspect of our law. It's another sign that we are living in the last days. In Jesus' famous chapter 24, where he talks about the end times and what it's going to look like, he says in verse 12 of chapter 24, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. It's a sign of the last day. And when there is lawlessness, there is a lack of love. Where there is more love, people respect each other. When there is no love and we don't respect each other, they break laws because they know that there will not be any penalties for them. That's what we're seeing right now, and it is intentional. So the first thing God did to meld this people into a nation was to establish laws. The Ten Commandments would serve as a foundation for all of Israel's civil, moral, and religious laws. One more thing regarding the Ten Commandments. I don't know if you knew this or not. They are the first 10 laws of 613 that were given to the Hebrew people to establish the nation of Israel. But the first 10, which was what we call the Ten Commandments, they form the foundation of Jewish ethics, behavior, and responsibility. If you subtract 10 from 613, you end up with 603. All 603 laws that followed the first 10 can be placed under one of the categories of the first 10. So, do we have that picture? Okay. So here's the Ten Commandments up here. You got 10 of them. Picture those were laid out on a line, and each one of them had their own category underneath that. So the Ten Commandments are part of the 613 laws. These laws can be divided into civil, moral, and religious. I'm sorry, the 10 categories, if you were to kind of remove it. You take each of those 10 categories and place them under one of these three categories here. And so the rest of the laws would fit under right here in some form or another. But the foundation are the 10 commandments. Have I lost anybody completely this morning? You guys are with me. All right. I think that's very interesting. So they're important. If you were to pull out this floor from underneath my feet right now, I would fall down into spider world and spider and dust world. We all need a foundation. When our foundation shakes, it gets hard to walk. So the Ten Commandments are foundational for the entire law brought to the Hebrews at Mount Sinai. Now, as far as what Jesus did with the law and the punitive aspects of the law is for another discussion, but I'm just trying to get you to understand the big picture. So now let's look at the passage where it recounts the giving of the law. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19, verses 1 through 5. Now this recounts the story of the Hebrews coming to Mount Sinai. The laws will be given in another verse here. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, how many months? Third month, right? Three. On the same day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim and had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So that is the first part where the Lord says, "I'm your God, you're my people, do right, things will go well. Do not do right, things will not go well." Now flip over to the next chapter, Exodus 20, beginning in verse 2. So these are the actual commandments now that God gives to Moses to bring back to the Hebrew people. Beginning in verse 1, I believe. "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Here we go. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." There we go. Within that passage are the Ten Commandments, and we'll spell them out a little more clearly as we move along. I'm going to go to my second point today. So what is the ultimate purpose of the Ten Commandments? Well, as mentioned, they were given to bring structure and order to the Hebraic people group that would later become Israel. If these laws were obeyed perfectly, could they provide anything else for the people, like bringing a reward for good behavior? Well, by keeping the laws, they could remain in good standing with God. Many people think that in Judaism, they're always trying to earn God's favor. They're trying to, it's a works righteousness. It's actually not. They believe that they already have the righteousness, that they're already part of God's family. Now they're just trying not to lose it. So that is the purpose of the law, of their reaction to the law. They could remain in good standing with God by keeping His laws. They didn't need to earn His favor, they had it. They needed to keep His favor, and that was done through obeying the laws perfectly. Flip over to Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. This is interesting. Here's what the Lord is saying to Moses and the people. All the commandments that I'm commanding you today you shall be careful to do. Here's the reason: that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers. That you may live is an interesting promise. God told them that they would live if they obeyed them. What does that mean? This live means to enjoy a blessed life. It means to have God's favor on all that you do. If God said it then, do you think He still means it now? For the sake of time, I'm not going to have you turn here, but we'll have it on the screen. You could maybe write these down. The question is, if God said it then, does He still mean it now? Well, let's look at Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is Jesus and God one and the same? Malachi 3:6, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Does God change or not? God does not change. This begs the question, does God still bring favor for those who will obey the law, the Ten Commandments? Does the Lord bring disfavor to those who constantly break them without repenting? Many times, not having the Lord's favor is as bad as getting His disfavor. Often the Lord will simply remove His hand of favor and provision and protection when we are disobedient and unrepentant. I believe that this is what has happened in America. I don't necessarily believe that we're under a curse right now, because this land is still filled with Christians. We are the remnant. We're worshiping the Lord. We're here on a Sunday to worship the living God. And we're just a little body of millions around this nation that call upon the name of the Lord. But as a corporate body, has the Lord maybe said, just kind of pulled back His hand a little bit? I believe that He has. And just the natural consequences of a fallen world and the sin in this world rush in like a flood when the dam wall is pulled back. I believe that's what we're seeing. So this leads me to my third point today. Are the Ten Commandments for only the Jews or the whole world? There has been debate about whether we modern folks still expected, or we are still expected to obey all Ten Commandments, or if the commandments are just for the Jews, or just some of them for us. Some argue that we are only obligated to follow the ones that Jesus specifically mentions in the Gospels. But our Lord Himself said differently as He stated His earthly ministry. Jesus wanted people to understand that God and His righteous standard for us had not and would never change. In Matthew 5, 17 through 19, I've got a few verses that talk about this. Just read along with me. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them." By the way, that's an interesting rabbinic phrase. The rabbis, when they would jostle for popularity in that culture, jostle for more students, that's a phrase that they would commonly use with each other. Say, "I have not come to do this, but to do this." And that is exactly what Jesus, our rabbi, is saying here. He says, "They all taught this, but I tell you this." Jesus is telling the truth here. "So I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." On several occasions, Jesus used the commandments as a foundation for teaching about righteousness. In these lessons, the Lord asked His disciples to keep each law in their hearts, making them part of a life that honors God and shares His love with others. Here's another one a little bit further down in Matthew 5:21. "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder.'" Right? There's a commandment right there. "And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." So was "thou shalt not murder" abrogated? Was it removed from the commandments? No, Jesus thought it was still valid, but He came to interpret the heart of God for people under the commandments. Matthew 5:27 through 28. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Luke 18:18 through 22. "A certain ruler asked Him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'Why do you call me good?' Jesus answered, 'No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy.' He said, when Jesus heard this, He said to them, 'You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me.'" Jesus didn't say, "No, those commands don't count." He recognized the validity of the commandments. He said, you're doing well following these, but it's all outside. It's your heart. There's an issue with your heart. The teachings of the New Testament were clearly based on the truths found in the original Ten Commandments, giving practical ways to apply them. The Apostle Paul told of his own transformation when he understood the purpose of them. Here's what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7. "What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.' So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good." Does righteousness, holiness, and good ever stop being righteous, holy, and good? Righteous, something is righteous and holy and good. It is always that unless it becomes corrupted. But Jesus is clearly teaching that it hasn't been corrupted. Who corrupted the law were the people. They corrupted the law, and Jesus came to fix all that by allowing the law of God, what is right and wrong, to be written on our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. So don't think I'm about to bust into a 10-week sermon on legalism. I'm not. I'm going to be teaching about grace found within the obedience to the commandments, but still seeking after the heart of God and taking the commandments seriously. Because since the moment God handed down the Ten Commandments, people from all eras have seen the need for and the blessings of following them. We would be wise to join them. Here's what it says in Leviticus 22, 31. This is God, what he says. Keep my commandments and follow them. I am the Lord. I want to read you a couple quotes here before we end. This is from Martin Luther. Exhort your household to learn the Ten Commandments, word for word, that they should obey God. For if you teach and urge your families, things will go forward. That means things will be good. Here's what James Madison wrote. We have staked the whole future of our new nation not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future of all our political constitutions upon the capacity of each of ourselves to govern ourselves according to the moral principles of the Ten Commandments. Pretty impressive, isn't it? So the question arises, what about some of the commandments that our society seems to break without a second thought? Let me just pose a few questions for you. What about working on Sunday? What about living with each other before marriage? What about lying? What about not honoring parents? Is it okay to do that in our modern age? By the way, as I read these questions, I'm asking, is it okay for us to do this? Because the Bible says something differently. Specifically, the commandments say something differently. What about having pictures of Jesus and statues in our home, in our church, in our car, in our keychains? Is that okay? Do these things still matter to God? Or does he simply look the other way because we have evolved? That was back then. This is 2024. This series will seek to answer these questions and a whole lot more. And I think we're all going to find it very enlightening. Remember, I am not coming to place a yoke on anyone or to teach a gospel of legalism. We live under grace, but God still has expectations for us. Yes, Jesus has covered us with his blood, and he gives us grace, and he gives us mercy constantly. But there are blessings and there are favor that comes through obedience. We just have to know what it is we're to obey. The rewards and favor. God blesses it. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you for the Ten Commandments. Lord, they are foundational for every rule of law in our nation. They are foundational for the rule of God in our hearts and in our lives. We know that all your other laws kind of fall under these 10. Certainly many we don't have to practice that are laws for the Jewish people, as we'll see, Lord. But God, your moral laws, your laws for how we treat you and how we come before you and how we treat each other are still as applicable today as they were back then. God, we pray for your grace in this teaching. We pray for mercy and helping us to understand your word. And Father, I don't want to be insensitive to anyone that is bearing heavy burdens today. Lord, I pray that you would meet them with your grace and your love. God, that you would wrap your arms around them. And Lord, I pray that your grace would lead us and that your favor would overtake us all. Lord, we pray that you would protect us and provide for us, not only as a people who call upon the name of the living God, but protect our nation. Lord, we're heading into some dark waters, but we know our God is still on the throne. Lord, we ask that you would raise up a righteous voice in our nation of leadership. God, that you would wake people up from the true wokeism that's going on. That you'd wake them up to the need for a living God and the fear of the living God. Lord, we pray, Lord, for our country. We pray for our children and for their future. God, we pray that you would wrap your arms around us. And should you delay your coming, Lord, we pray, God, that you would be merciful to all of us. Remember your people, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. Have a great week.